Hi, it's Brock Romanek, editor of thecorporatecouncil.net. I'm here today with Dan Roberts, who's CEO of RAS XBRL. Dan has been very involved in the XBRL world for quite a long time, including being chair of the XBRL U.S. Steering Committee and chairing the XBRL International Accounting Supply Group. And I thought we'd take a few minutes to talk to Dan about what's happening now with XBRL, because I do believe we've had our last phase in. So that's my first question for Dan. Dan, is what phase of XBRL recently took effect?
Well, Brock, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak on this. Yes, we've entered the third phase of the SEC's XBRL, or what they call Interactive Data Program. Some people call it Phase 3, some people call it Year 3, some people call it Tier 3. Suffice to say that in 2009, the first 500 companies, the largest 500 registrants, actually provided XBRL to the SEC. Last year, a further roughly 1,000 provided XBRL to the SEC. This year, we're actually seeing, the SEC is estimating there'll be a further 8,700 filers who need to provide XBRL to the SEC.
So what, you know, in particular, I know you've been, you know, doing some great blogging on your site, and what, you know, I know you've written a lot about the hurdles that smaller companies face, particularly in the cost area. What are those implementation issues that smaller companies now face?
You know, when I think about that again and again, it comes down to three categories of issues, and it's resources, it's time, and it's cost. And of these, I'd say probably the single biggest issue is going to be the availability of trained and capable resources. A number of the service providers actually have stopped taking new clients simply because they can't service their existing clients as they move into what's called detailed tagging, which is the second year requirement and is significantly more work than even the first year. So with that expected to be about a 4x increase in effort, a number of the service providers are actually saying, you know, we can't handle this load anymore. So that's the first issue, is are the resources there, and are you going to be able to access those resources? Because if you have difficulty accessing resources, it's going to come back on you for an awful lot of work. The good news is first-time filers, for their first filing, get a 30-day grace period from the SEC. But that's for your first filing only. Mm-hmm. So if you're with a service provider or you're doing this yourself and you discover that you need to use that grace period, you have to ask yourself and your provider, what are you going to be doing to your processes to ensure that next filing you can actually file concurrent with your filing? The next one is time, and again, I've mentioned that, but let's think in terms of how much time do you actually have to dedicate to this? And that becomes important in terms of your decision to do this in-house or to outsource it, or who to outsource it to, because you really need to be asking any provider, how much time will this take? First, you know, the best estimates right now are somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 to 60 hours, person hours, to actually accomplish this. The third area, cost. Cheap is good. But at the same time, remember that cheap will probably result and probably translate directly into more hours of your time. If you spend 40 hours on it versus 8 or 10 hours, you probably should be costing those additional 30 to 40 hours in terms of what's this really costing you. And when I bring all of those three areas together, I sort of call it the fog of XBRL, because it's easy to say, okay, give me a cheap solution, but do I have the time to do this? How much XBRL do I want to learn? Do I need to learn? Do you as a resource provider have the resources to make sure that I don't have to use the grace period? Or how will you confirm to me that I won't need to use it in subsequent, well, when I don't have it? So really, Brock, I'd say those are the three key issues for smaller filers and smaller companies.
So you've touched a little bit about what these smaller companies can do to overcome these issues. Do you have any other advice for them?
You know, I know this is almost trite these days, but I would say Google. I recently saw correspondence from a law office to clients saying that they were really happy to say that they had spent a couple of years exploring XBRL options and that they'd found a provider who not only focused on small filers, but was also the cheapest. Now, I've been looking at this for a long time, and I've been looking for this provider. I know the name of the provider. I can't find them. I can't find them on the net. I can't find physically where they are. And I've been at the heart of XBRL since 2003, which I guess, Brock, in comparison with your experience, makes me a youngster at this. So I hate to be simplistic about this, but Google your potential providers. If you're considering somebody, go to the Internet. I mean, it's almost a trite comparison, but when you get on the airplane, don't you feel a lot more comfortable when that silver-haired pilot gets on the airplane? It doesn't prove you're going to arrive more safely, but, you know, I feel a lot more comfortable knowing I've got a mature flight crew.
So what is your firm? You're talking, you know, it sounds scary that some smaller companies aren't going to be able to trust their provider or not find their provider. How does your firm help clients?
I think people can and should trust their providers, but as with any business decision, they should do their homework. And thank you for that question. What we do, the first thing, okay, we do produce XBRL files and XBRL 4 filers. We do use what I believe to be the very best software, and I've been looking at this stuff for years. We try and make the process as smooth as possible. But at the same time, we also believe that people should be making an informed decision. So that's why I blog, and I blog on a range of topics about XBRL. Listeners can access our blog by going to our website, or they can Google us. And if you Google us, just put into Google RAS XBRL, RAAS and XBRL, or Google me, Daniel Roberts and XBRL. We've also produced what we call our XBRL Buyer's Guide, in which we compare a number of vendors, and we give sort of some guidance, just as I've done just now, on what are the kinds of questions you should be asking yourself, what are the kinds of questions you should be asking your vendors or potential vendors. And really, an informed decision is going to give you an awful lot more comfort about any potential issues, any potential situations, and it's going to prepare you for what's coming. Because the XBRL, provision of XBRL, doesn't need to be difficult, doesn't need to be scary, doesn't need to be expensive, but that's probably only true if you've done your homework. And that would be sort of my summing up comment, Brock.
Great. Well, I do encourage those of you out there looking for help to reach out to Dan and his firm, because it sounds like it's going to be the Wild West for the smaller companies out there, unfortunately. And crunch time is here, or beyond here. It definitely is an urgent time. Thanks a lot, Dan.
Thank you very much, Brock.